Philippians chapter 2 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1259. We'll read responsively verses 12 through 16. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12 and reading responsively through verse 16, page 1259. The text verse for this morning's message is verse 13. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Together also on the 16th verse. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And let's pray. Father, this is the all-important hour. It's important that we hear Thee, that we get strength from Thee, that we get that which we need to carry us on through the days ahead. We believe You've given something to our preacher to give to us. We believe that we hold a very important responsibility to hear what You want us to hear. So give us alertness, give us a heart for the message, and a willingness to do what You want. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of the book. Just a truth, and yet a revolutionary truth from a revolutionary book. Give us this morning attentive hearts and minds and ears, please, to hear what the Spirit saith to the church today. He that hath an ear, let him hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject, Lord, don't give me what I want, but give me what I want to want. Lord, don't give me what I want, but give me what I want to want. If I could this morning, if I could and had time, and you had time, I'd like to sit with everybody in this room and deliver this message personally. It's the kind of message that ought to be shared across the coffee table, as I talk to you personally. Would you, consequently, would you picture, if you could this morning, you and I together, alone, chatting, and would you let me give you what I'd like to give you personally, if I could? Would you think of this as not being a preaching service, but would you think of this as you and I, together alone, as I chat with you about this subject? We have this thing of prayer all mixed up. We ask God for what we want. Don't misunderstand me. We have a right to do that. We certainly have a right according to the Bible. Delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We have a right to do it. But I want to tell you a safer way to do it. A safer way is to ask God to give you what you want to want. Now listen carefully. There's some things in life that you don't want, but you wish you did want them. There are some of you who would like to want to be as good a Christian as somebody in this room, but you don't want to. You want to, but you don't want to. You understand what I'm saying? You wish you did have the desires, but you don't. Now, it's safer to ask God in our prayers, Dear God, Don't give me what I want, but give me what I want to want. We read in our text a while ago, for it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What is it saying? It is saying that God not only gives us what we want, but God gives us the desire for what we want. That means that God gives you what you want to want. Now hear me carefully. You have on this side what you want. Good night. It's going to be a big side over here. You have what you want. Now wait a minute. Hold it carefully. On this side, you have what you want to want. What you wish you could want. You want to be a soul winner. You want to win souls, but you don't want to win souls. You want to read your Bible, but you don't want to read your Bible. You want to watch the TV. You want to read the magazine. You want to read the paper, but you want to read your Bible. Now, here's the progression. You have a choice of what you want or what you want to want. Now, the progression is this. If you will ask God to ask Him what you want, to give you what you want instead of what you want, then God gives you what you want and then makes you want what He just gave you. Are you listening? Wake up, son. Are you listening to me? You listen to me? Son, you need this too now. Listen to me. You ask God for what you want, He gives it to you perhaps. But what you need is what you want. So you ask God for what you want. God gives you what you want. When He gives it to you, you don't want it. But when you have it, God then makes you want what you have. That's what it means in Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. That does not mean primarily He'll give you what you want. It means He'll give you the desires. You'll learn to desire properly. But see, you don't usually learn to want the right thing until you get the right thing. By nature, we want what we don't need. But if we could somehow put in our prayer lives, in the place of praying for what we want, pray for what we want, God would give us an answer to that prayer and give us what we want. And once we have what we want, God then comes and not only gives us what we want, but He gives us the desire for what we have. Then it is much safer to get first and want later. That's the most important thing I'm going to say. It is much safer to get first and want later than to want first and get later. And God, if you will ask for what you want, God will give you a desire for what you have once He gives you what you want. So go ahead and do what you want to do. Don't do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. He will then make you want to do what you just did. You understand what I'm saying? Anybody here understand me? All right. Let me say it again. Don't do what you want to do. Do what you wish you wanted to do. And once you do what you want to do, then God will make you enjoy what you just did. Let me illustrate. I used to want a broken heart, but I didn't like the looks of folks that had broken hearts. I can recall when I was a kid preacher, I wanted to want, but I didn't want a broken heart. You see, by nature, I've always been sort of in some ways, I like humor. I cut up a great deal. That's one reason why I stay alone a lot now. I cut up too much from around people, and I see funny things. In fact, look at these fellows in the front over here. And look at these funnier things over here on this side over here. But I didn't want to look like those people had a broken heart. I walk around crying all the time. I wanted to want that, but didn't want it. Now see, be honest with God. Look at God and say, God, I don't want what I'm going to ask you for, but I want it. So I'm going to ask you what I want instead of what I want. You see, I bypassed what I wanted, and I asked God for what I wanted to want. I wanted to be a preacher who preached with tears.
I wanted to be a preacher who had compassion. I wanted to be a preacher who felt for people. I wanted that. But didn't want it. I wanted to want it. But I didn't want it. So I bypassed what I wanted and prayed for God to give me what I wanted to want. And God gave me what I wanted to want. And as soon as I got it, I wouldn't have traded it what I used to want. You're not following me, are you? Do you look that dumb all the time? I'm saying that our tragedy is this. We say, I want this, I want this, I want this. You're a heap safer not to ask for that. You're a heap safer to... Look, Paul said, I would do that which I do not. I do not do that which I would. He said, there are two natures inside of me, fighting all the time. What is he saying? Paul said, there's something inside of me. He says, I want this. But there's something else that said, I want to want this. I want to drink, somebody says. But I want not to drink. Okay, then ask God to give you what you want to want instead of what you want. I want to fight back when somebody attacks me. I want to get them back. I want to punch them in the nose or get back at them. That's what I want. That's what I want too. But I want to be forgiving. I want to turn the other cheek. So, dear God, don't give me what I want. Give me what I want to want. And then, after you get it, brother, you look at it and you see the... Listen to me. Are you listening? You see the beauty and the loveliness of what didn't look good before you had it. Now that you have it, you see how wonderful it is. And you compare what you didn't want when you... Look, what you want to want is more beautiful once you got it than what you want once you got that. Are you listening? The rest of you going home. I want to talk to John. You see, if you don't know what I'm saying, look intelligent. Shake your head like this occasionally. Even if you don't know what's going on, just shake it like that occasionally. Look, what you want is not what you thought it'd be when you get it. What you want to want is what you really wanted all the time. So I used to pray, dear God, I don't want to be one of those weeping preachers. I don't want to cry all the time, and I don't want to go around with a burden all the time. I don't want to look like John Rice looks. Or looked. I don't want to look like he looks now either. But I don't want to look like that. I mean, his eyes are always red, and his mouth lips always quivering. Oh God, oh God, Lord, I don't want to look like that. But Lord, I want to. I want His power. I want His blessing. I want the victories of His life. So I said, God, don't give me what I want. Give me what I want to want. And God gave me a broken heart for sinners, and God gave me a broken heart for the suffering, and God gave me a broken heart for the sad, and God gave me a broken heart for the bereaved, and God gave me a broken heart for the fallen. And now that I see it, the beauty and the hue of its color and the loveliness of its appearance, thank God! I didn't ask God for what I wanted. Thank God! I asked God for what I wanted to want. Now that I want it, wouldn't trade it for the world. You couldn't give me the preaching of a dry-eyed, careless kind of a possibility thinking or power of positive thinking. You give me a broken heart for the hungry and a broken heart for the sad and a broken heart for the bereaved and a broken heart for the broken hearts. You give me that. That's what I want. But I didn't want to want it. But I said, God, I want this. But I want a broken heart. And oh, God, give me not what I want because that's not right. Give me what I want. And God gave me what I wanted to want. And hallelujah, I got it. Now I want it. I used to wanted to want to praise God. But I didn't like the way the people acted that did. A lot of you folks sitting right beside one this morning. I didn't want to be like that. But I wanted to be like that. I used to say, dear God, I don't want folks to think about me when I'm thinking about Him. I don't want that. But somehow in my soul there beat a desire to have a heart full of praise to my God. And so I said to God one day, I'm not going to ask what I want. I want to be composed. I want to be always under control. I want to be suave. But Lord, I want to praise you. And I want to lift up holy hands and shout. And I want to feel in my soul what I think some other folks feel. And I said, dear God, don't give me what I want. Give me what I want to want. Oh, this thing could transform your life this morning. Don't trust your wanter. Trust your want to wanter. Don't trust what you want. It's usually the flesh that wants, the eyes want, the hands want, the mouth wants, the scent, nose wants, the ears want. I want to listen to rock music, but I want to not want to listen to rock music. Your want to wanter is a lot safer than your wanter. I wanted to be dignified. Didn't work out that way for me. But I wanted to be. I dead sure didn't want to be like those nuts. God looked at others and I saw them. And I said, God, I don't want folks to look at me that way. I don't want to be a fanatic. I don't want to be a nut. But I said, dear God, I sure want to be. And I'll be honest with you. I've always tried to be honest with God. I really have. I always try to be fair and honest and tell God exactly how I feel. He already knows, but I want to tell Him anyway. Exactly how I feel. And I said, God, I'll be quite frank with you. I do not want to be one of those praisers. I don't want to be. I want to be truthful to the Bible. I'd like to be a good Bible teacher. I'd like to be a good expositor of the Scripture. But I don't want to be one of those shouting praisers. But I said, God, I want it. Thank God, He gave me not what I wanted, but what I wanted to want. Now then, I praise Him and shout His praises and sing His praises and love Him and exalt Him and honor Him. Why? Because I want it now, but I didn't want it till I got it. You won't want what you want when you get it, but you'll want what you want to want when you get it. You take a good look at what you want, decide what you want to want, and what you want will fail in oblivion, and it won't sparkle. It sparkles in a distance, doesn't sparkle up close. Listen, the world never sparkles up close. The prettiest part of those nightclubs is the sign on the outside. You get close to it, you won't like it. It looks mighty good. Hollywood looks mighty good. Till you get close to it, you won't like it. I mean, the rock crowd looks pretty good as they're wiggling up there like a worm in a storm on a platform somewhere. Look pretty good. But this is, you won't like it up close. Sin cannot stand close scrutinization. But God can. And the book can. And Jesus can. And the Christian life can. I remember something I really didn't want. I used to hear my preacher, Brother Sizemore, say this, and he said to me, he said in the services, he said, folks, he said, the hardest thing you'll ever do physically is to pray. I understand that. He said, when you really pray, he said, when you get through, if you really prayed, you'll be perspiring just like you ran a mile. Well, I didn't perspire after saying, now lay me down to sleep. I never sweated after saying, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for the pizza. I never said that. Never sweated. I used to sit out in the service and hear my preacher say that. He said, if you ever learn to pray, he said, when you get through with real praying, he said, you'll be worn out and you'll be perspiring just like you've been running. He said, there is no physical work to compare with real praying. And I said, I don't want that. I don't want it. I'll be quite frank with you. I didn't want it. But I wanted to want it. Listen, I wanted what that little man had. I watched that little fellow walk with God. And I wanted it. But my flesh didn't want it. And I'd been a preacher quite a while before I really wanted to want. Before I really wanted to be a real prayer. Average person in this room this morning knows nothing about prayer. Nothing at all. Average person knows nothing about praying for an hour and thinking it was only 5 minutes. The average person in this room this morning knows nothing about agonizing before God and falling on your face and begging God and saying, "Oh my God, you're going to have to take care of this thing. Oh God, I can't do it." Average person knows nothing about that. You don't want it. You don't want to waller in the dirt for an hour. You don't want to wear sackcloth and ashes. You don't want to cry and scream and beg God to intercede, intervene. You don't want that. I didn't either. But I wanted to want it. And one day I came to God and I said, "Dear God, I don't want what I'm going to ask you for, but I'm going to ask you not for what I want, but for what I want to want. I want to pray like my preacher does. I want to be a man of prayer like my preacher was." I'll be quite frank with you. There are a few people in this world I've known that I thought really knew how to pray. My mother was one. Mrs. Bartels, another. When Mrs. Bartels became so ill, sometimes she just... Well, she wasn't the Mrs. Bartels that she used to be physically and probably emotionally. I lost my mother and Mrs. Bartels, you might say, in the same year. I could not tell you how what it meant to me when I gave that little lady a copy of my schedule. And she told me, she said, "You can rest assured, Brother Hiles, that I'll be on my face in that little apartment." I gave her that apartment to live in back there so she could pray for me. Every time I preached across this nation, I knew that little woman was on her face, and I knew she knew how to get a hold of God, and I knew she knew God, and she begged for God to bless her preacher. I wanted to want that as a young preacher, but I didn't want it. I didn't want it! I wanted to be one of these, you know, red shoe wearing, horn toting preachers. You know what I'm talking about. I want to learn how to do artwork. What do you call those things? Chalk talks. I wanted to have a trombone in one hand, the Bible in the other. Have a pair of lizard shoes. Hail, hail, the gang's all here. Come on, let's dig it for Jesus. I didn't want to be one of those fellows who spends his time alone with God. Wonder where the action is. Let me tell you where the action is. The action is on your knees. That's where the action is. I didn't want that, but I wanted to want it. Finally, one day, I said, "Dear God, what I'm going to ask you for, I don't want. But I want to want it. I'm going to ask you to make me a man of prayer. I can't make it by myself. I want to be a man, not a man that has devotional every day for 15 minutes. I want to be a man that knows God and walks with God. And I want to be a man of intercessory prayer. I'm talking about the kind that pray and hide. I'm talking about the kind that Andrew Murray had. I'm talking about the kind that George Mueller had. I'm talking about the kind that John Rice had. I'm talking about the kind that Brother Lester Roloff had. I want to be a man of prayer, a man that knows how to pray and agonize, intercede. That's what I want. And God gave me what I wanted to want. As soon as God gave me what I didn't want, but what I wanted to want, brother, I wanted it, and there's nothing like it in the whole world. Let me tell you something. They don't make a football game to compare with walking with God and agonizing before God. I'm not saying I'm talking about fun. I'm talking about fun. I'm not talking about just a peace of mind. I'm talking about if you ever learn how to pray. I mean, really pray. All the other stuff will be just hobbies. Little stuff. God gave me not what I wanted, but what I wanted to want. And ever since He gave it to me, I've wanted it. I used to pray for tears, but didn't want them, but I prayed for them. And I said, "God, give me tears while I preach." He said, "You want them?" I said, "No, I don't want them. I don't want to stop. Blow your nose in the microphone 4 or 5 times in a sermon. I don't want that! But I want to want it." And I said, "God, I'm not going to ask you for what I want. I'm going to ask you for what I want to want." And God gave me what I wanted to want, and God gave it to me. From that moment forward, I want it now. I want it now. I used to want to give. I want to give. I didn't want to give.
Well, blessed to give to receive, but receiving was good enough for me. I don't deserve the best anyway. I used to want to give, but I didn't want to give. I saw others that gave. I don't mean giving a few dollars. I'm talking about giving till you haven't got anything else to give and you pray for God to give you something else to give. I'm not talking about the kind of giving most of us do. I'm talking about the kind of giving that makes you simply a vessel or a conduit through which God's blessings flow from Him to somebody else. I didn't want to do that. But I wanted to want to. I went to God one day and I said, "Dear God, I'm not going to ask you what I want. I wanted a big car. I wanted a lot of fancy things. But one day I said, God, I'm not going to ask you anymore for what I want. I'm going to ask you for what I want to want. I want to give. I want to be unselfish. I want to share. I have not yet arrived, but thank God in some sense He answered that prayer. And in some sense, when He gave me what I didn't want, but what I wanted to want, and I began to give and to share, I found out it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I want to now. I'm talking to some people this morning. This is your testimony. I gave you this microphone and said, tell me about how affectionate you are. I'm talking about every affection. Affection towards your children. Affection towards your husband. Affection towards your wife. Affection towards your friends. I'm talking about affection in every relationship of life. Somebody would stand up here this morning and they would say, Brother Howes, I grew up where it was not normal to be affectionate. I grew up where nobody in my home ever said, I love you. My mama never told me she loved me. My daddy never told me he loved me. It was not, well, I'm sure they did because they provided for me and my mother took care of me. But it was not that way in our house. And Brother Hiles, I'm just not the affectionate type. And to be quite frank with you, I don't want to be affectionate. Okay, well then ask God for what you want to want. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Do what you want to do, not what you want to do. By the way, when you get older and you die, get to come to the place of death, you're going to wish you'd done what you wanted to want instead of what you wanted. Sometimes what you want to want, in seeking it, it becomes what you want because you seek it so much. And sometimes getting what you want makes you want it. It's exactly what, as I said a while ago, the Apostle Paul was saying in Romans 7. He was saying, there's some things I want. There's some things I want to want. He said, oh, God, give me what I want to want. And not what I want. Could I share this with you and I'll close? And this is very sweet to me. 29 years ago, about this time of the year, I was wrestling with the decision of my life. I was settled in my own home county, pastoring in my home county, 22 miles from where I grew up, 22 miles from where Mrs. Howes' mother lived, and 22 miles from where my mother lived. In fact, mother had moved. We lived, but she lived about 4 blocks from us at this time. Pastoring just a few miles from where I went to high school. My friends of a lifetime were there. I'd seen a church grow from just 44 people to over 4,000 members. We thought we were there for life. Our own hometown, home county. And then a message came from this church here. And they said, would you consider being pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond? And I didn't want it. I'll be quite frank with you. I didn't want it. You see, in 1957, and please listen to this, in 1957, I'd preached in this area for the first time in my life ever preached here. But Dr. John Rice, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., Dr. G.B. Vick and I, the four of us, preached in this area. I preached all over the area. I preached to the First Baptist Church of Harvey. Then over the north side at Northside Gospel Center, Dr. Vance Latham was pastor there. Then I spoke at the Belden Avenue Baptist Church on the near north side of Chicago. Then I spoke at the Oak Park Baptist Church. I think that's over on the west side, isn't it? Near west side or so. Oak Park Bible Church there. Here for a week. I liked to die. I really did. I almost died. I drove around Chicago and I thought, oh my soul, I can't believe what I'm seeing. One night I preached at the First Baptist Church of Harvey. We were staying at a hotel over on the north side near Lincoln Park. North Park Hotel. This has been 31 years ago. And I was preaching at Harvey and I saw Halstead Street was near where we were. Somebody said the First Baptist Church Harvey was on Halstead Street, so I thought I'd drive a few blocks down there. It takes 3 years to drive from the north side of Chicago to Harvey on Halstead Street. 17,425 stoplights. I never saw anything like it in my life. By the time I got halfway there, tears streaming down my cheeks. And I said, oh, God, what's being done for this city? And I began to pray every day of my life when I got back to Texas for God to send somebody to this city. Somebody to organize a work that would reach into all these ghetto areas and all these apartment house areas. And I prayed every day, oh, God, send somebody. And then I got a letter from First Baptist Church of Hammond. I didn't want to come. But I wanted to want to. I didn't want to leave my county, my family, and my people and my heritage. I didn't want to. And I said, God, I don't mean to do wrong, but I don't want to go. But I said, God, I wish I did want to go. And I saw those apartment houses. And finally, I said, God, I'm not going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. If you want me to go, I'll go. The other night, I was preaching over on Kedzie Street just off Fullerton, a Sunday school convention. Normally, I'd have Larry Weller drive me. Something like that, but I decided to go alone. I left about 2 hours early. I decided to retrace some of the steps I traced in 1957. I drove down Halstead, the Western California, Armitage, Kedzie, Fullerton. Other streets. And I said, I doubt if there's a block that I've driven down where our people haven't knocked on the door. I wanted to want, but didn't want. I'd like to testify in closing. What you want is wonderful when received. What you want is not what you'll want when you receive it. Amen again. What you want when received will make you want something else. What you want when received will satisfy. Now let me say this. Most people ought to get saved according to the same plan. You don't want be a Christian, but you want to. You come to God this morning and say, God, I don't really want to do this, but I want to do it. So here I am. I'm trusting Jesus as my Savior. And I'll bind you, brother, if you mean it, before you breathe 3 more times, you will have want what you just got. Father, bless the message this morning.